Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the last PL Gaming Podcast of the year. We made it successfully through a full year and recorded every week. I'm proud of us. Congratulations, yeah. Guys.
A lot of other podcasts take breaks around this time.
Not us.
They're going to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. We're going to take a Christmas break so we can go fuck ourselves.
Yeah. A little side note. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All that jazz.
Another side note. On his side note, I'm sick as fuck. So yeah. I'm just going to try not to talk. I'm cussing a lot because
he will keep his coughing to a minimum, hopefully.
I'm trying to.
We don't have a cough button like most high production value ones do, so you'll just have to cough into your arm or something. Let's get into the game. So this is Game of the Year edition for DL Gaming Podcast. We're going to talk about games of the year. We're going to go through all that stuff. I'm going to kick us off with a little game. It's the best-selling games of Steam 2015. These are games that have been released this year. The top 10 list are all 1 million copies sold on Steam. I want to see how many you guys can go through. You guys work together, see how many you can come up with on the top 10 selling games that were released in 2015.
Right. They all sold more than 1 million?
All sold more than 1 million.
GTA 5.
Okay, GTA 5 is number one, selling 3.5 million this year.
Witcher 3?
Witcher 3 was number 9, selling a little over 1 million.
Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 was number 2 with 2.4.
Metal Gear?
Metal Gear was number 11, actually, just under that.
Ark Survival Evolved.
Yep, that was number 3, selling 2.1 million.
Oh, this is probably going to be off, but I just read that they sold 3 million total since they started. So did they sell 1 million this year, Rust?
Well, these are games only released this year. You got a couple indie games that you guys haven't said?
Rocket League.
Rocket League, number five at 1.9 million.
So we've got 1 through 5. Are we missing 4?
You're missing 4.
CSGO was last year?
CSGO was last year, yes. But did sell the most in 2015, CSGO did. Number 4 is a zombie game.
Dying Light?
Dying Light is actually number 10 at 1 million, almost 1 million, at exactly 1 million.
Oh,
H1Z1
is number 4. Selling 2 million this year.
Wow.
So you guys have 3 left.
You know, on my friends list, never does H1Z1 come
really?
Up. Nobody's playing it.
I don't, who's playing that game? I don't see
anybody.
I have
a couple buddies that play that game a ton.
On console, though.
No, on PC.
Oh.
They only play Battle Royale and they love it.
All right, we're not going to get the last ones.
So the 3 you're missing are City Skylines, selling 1.7 million. Prison Architect, selling 1.4 million.
Hey, Bob, have you played since they have the escape mode and the...
Yeah, I haven't played since it was in early alpha 2 years ago.
Doesn't that seem interesting to you?
Yeah.
Escape mode, like you play as a prisoner?
Yeah, I mean, the game was good. Yeah. Even when I played it back years ago.
Yeah, I think the other full release.
And the last one is Besiege, selling 1.3 million. So that's the top 10 games.
With their not, like you were saying, their non-intentional viral marketing, right?
Yep, non-intentional. Or maybe they were, but...
We're going to have to call that the Trump effect now. You guys hear that, like, he spent the least on his campaign finance and has by far the most draw or whatever? Because anything he says is on the news. He gets free press the whole time.
Because he says the most ridiculous things ever.
Right, exactly.
Bobby, you want to talk a little bit about Patreon now?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be putting links on our website. So if you want to support us...
We've had a couple people asking. I'm not really...
Yeah.
But, yeah. So if you want to contribute... Sorry, Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, Bob, you want to talk? Fuck you, Bob.
Well, I just want to make sure people... We're not asking for money or anything like that.
But money's always nice.
If you feel inclined, you know, we get a lot of our games off of G2A.com, and they have banners that you can click through to support people, you know, like Twitch streamers or podcasters like us. So we'll have that on our website, dlgaming.net. Also, we're going to be starting a Patreon as well. If you're feeling really generous, then you can support us on there, and that'll be on our website as well.
Yeah, and the last thing, we're also going to have an Amazon click-through. So if you're going to buy anything on Amazon, just go to our website first and click on our banner, and then we get a little kickback. Doesn't cost you anything. And on GTUA, you'll actually get a 3% discount if you click on our banner. So why not? You know that we use this site. We've been talking about it for over a year. So
yeah. And anything we get, we're going right back into the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it be games or whatever it is. I dropped $50 yesterday. I'm not a rich man. I dropped $50 on games yesterday.
Yep. Along with everybody else doing the Steam sale, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, so we probably won't be mentioning it too much, but those should be up later this week, those three banners.
Cool. Let's get into the games of the year. Kick right off. Oh, just a little side note. We talked a little bit about most disappointing games of the year last week, so we're not going to talk any bad games. If you want to hear us talk bad about games, listen to last week's podcast.
Or generally any episode that Chad's involved in. So I listened to last episode, right?
Yeah.
Three times you're talking shit about a game because you didn't do well online.
What do you mean?
The worst part of this game is it's I just can't do well. I just, I get fucking blown up, right? I can't even fucking start. That happened three times, three different games, dude.
They're all terrible games. If they were better, I would be doing better.
The biggest problem with this game is that I suck.
Yeah. Well, if they can't handle bad players, then it's not a very well-made game.
I can see that.
Well, it's what Battlefront is for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, the games of the year, what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about some of the games that we really liked individually this year, and then I guess we're going to come to some sort of consensus on what we feel is our best game of the year.
As of this second right now, we don't have a game of the year. By the end of this discussion and us shooting the shit, hopefully a star will be born.
Yeah. Our official game of the year last year was Wolfenstein: The New Order.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And none of us know our lists yet, so this is all going to be a learning experience for all of us.
And if you wanted to make a side category, we gave each other free rein to make any kind of category you might want to. So our categories aren't going to be like best multiplayer. It's just like things that deserve to be mentioned.
Yep. All right. Who wants to start this off?
You know what? Why don't I start? Because I'm pretty sure I have the shortest list here.
Okay.
So a lot of people know that I like playing Heroes of the Storm. If you listen to the podcast, that's no surprise. It did officially release this year. Obvious choice that would be my game of the year. But I don't think I can really give it to Heroes of the Storm. Looking back years from now, I think the game that was most memorable for me that I will want to play again or remember would have to be Life is Strange. I finished that last week. Definitely the most enjoyable game I played this year. Best experience I had. I talked a lot about it last week, but I think I'm going to give that my choice, which is unfortunate because you guys haven't played that game.
I played the first episode.
You played the first episode.
Yeah.
I saw that coming last week. The way you were gushing about it, I was like, oh, Bobby's going to give this game of the year.
So, I tell you what. Since we haven't played, I will play that this week. I have a couple days. I have the full game. I'll play Life is Strange. And give a secondary opinion on
it. I'll give it a shot. I have a lot of games now. But yeah. I bought you guys some games
too. Yeah, I know. I downloaded them. So.
Yeah. Dude, it's not too late. For Christmas, just go to your buddy's thing. Go to his wish list. It's kind of hard to find. Go to profile, and then right under all the big stuff, there's a little tiny tab that says wish list. And just buy him something.
Make the wish list hard to get to. You have to go to their games and then the wish list tab. You think they would make that a little easier to get to? For
people?
There's a direct wish list.
On their profile. Okay. So there's a couple ways, but none of them. It's not a button. It's just text, right?
It's just text.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got you guys the Steam link, but it hasn't shipped yet.
Did you get those free games out of it?
No. See, that's the fucked up part. If you already own the games, you don't get them.
Because I was going to tell Chad to get it because he needs both those games.
What games were
they? Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, gotcha.
I think they changed it.
Yeah, you're talking about the old setup. It used to be Rocket League and Portal 1 or something like that. Now it's Left 4 Dead 2 and like another game that you don't have that you should have.
So I think it's CSGO.
I think it's CSGO.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. But all those games are on sale right now. But yeah, so that'll be cool. Once we get that, then we can
test it out. Yeah. Couch co-op. That'll be awesome.
Because as of now, we've been doing it on Emilio's bed, and that's...
I like it.
That is,
I mean, if we have four people, then you, somebody's getting a bad seat.
If you just cut that little segment, we do it on Emilio's bed. It does not paint us in a good light.
Remind me again how we're going. So the controller receiver goes into the Steam Link because it has a USB.
I think so.
And then the controllers talk to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's got HDMI. It does work with Xbox controllers. And I was looking at some videos. That thing looks like an external hard drive, like a 2.5 inch. Like, it looks so small. It's crazy.
Cool.
Cool.
But yeah, my runner's up real quick to finish up this. Heroes of the Storm, obviously. Love that game. I think it's Blizzard makes amazing games. If you want to hear more on what I think about that game, listen to like
any whole year.
Yeah, any episode ever. But also I want to mention Killing Floor 2. This game is in early access and I really, really enjoyed this game.
Oh,
this is one that I know a couple listeners have picked up and I really feel like I should play with them more on that one because I've talked this one up quite a bit. I played a whole lot of it when it first came out. They've had some really big patches to it. Still haven't come out of beta, but they've really added a lot to the game and I need to go back and play more of it.
Yeah, our YouTube channel is kind of dead right now. We haven't added much in the last few months, but check out Bobby's Killing Floor 2 video. I think it might be his best work that I've seen. I was just checking out all our videos the other day. So if you're wondering why our videos get a little more hits every once in a while, it's just me being nostalgic.
Yeah. Well, we need to record more because we need, you know, a lot of funny stuff happens when we play games together, but we got to have that record button ready to go.
Yep.
All right, who's next?
Me or you want me to go?
Go ahead.
All right. So, I have 10 games here. One of them is my game of the year, but I have 9 others. So, I got some categories. So, let's kick this right off. My first category is best game, combining the best genre with the best company. And that goes to Heroes of the Storm, obviously. Bobby already talked about it. I don't think we need to go into it more. Best game to combine zombies and parkour. That goes to Dying Light. That actually came out in January.
Did you play that?
A bunch.
Oh, wow. I really enjoyed that game.
I think that's the only game to combine zombies and parkour.
Yeah. You'll notice the theme here with my categories. Most people, like, so early in the year that most people have forgotten about it now. But if you haven't played Dying Light, highly recommend that game.
Fuck yeah. And I'm already planning on... I haven't bought DLC. Have you guys bought any DLC? What was the last DLC?
I haven't even bought the game yet. I haven't even played
it. No, I mean just in general. What was the last DLC you've ever purchased?
I almost bought Rocket League DLC when it was on sale on Bundle Stars, but I was like,
I'm not sure. I know the last time I bought
DLC. Yeah, I'll probably buy some Awesome Knots DLC during the sale.
Yeah, well, that's going to come up later. So I bought that one for sure.
Awesome Knots?
Awesome Knots. No. I bought the Rocket League DLC.
Oh, okay.
Now, one of them. You know, they're $3, so...
Yeah. And you're supporting that.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to do, is support them. It wasn't even about getting the new shit. What was that? Oh, anyway. I'm 100% buying the Dying Light DLC. It was interesting, because early on, they're like, oh, it's going to be $20, and it's coming out in February, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, let's say... I don't know what the date was. Let's say December. And then they said, it's getting pushed back, and it's going to be $30. It's like, not only did you push it back, but you're also charging more. It's like, and they said that we added, it became so big, and there's so much content here that we had to just charge more and take longer. So I think there's going to be a lot there. Obviously, I'm not going to pre-purchase, but I'm definitely...
Oh, it's not even out yet?
No. I'm going to wait for the for the reviews and then play it. But I think they put cars in it.
Nice.
Like buggies.
All right, next category. Best game with a giant flying whale. That one's going to go to Metal Gear Solid 5. Awesome game. I ended up playing mostly on console just because I had it on console, but highly recommend that game. And Emilio, you still said that was the best graphics you've seen this year on a game?
Star Wars is up there, too. Between those two.
Have you played it on yours?
Star Wars? Just a beta.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Best game with a dual sword-wielding mage. I'm going to go with Witcher 3 on that. A lot of options, but I decided to go Witcher 3.
Yeah, he's not a mage.
Best game you can rip a spine out in. I would decide on Mortal Kombat X.
There's probably more than one on that one.
Yeah. Best game you can fuck a hooker, then run her over and steal your money back. I went with GTA 5 on that one.
So you're basically going down the top 1 million sellers again.
Well, I didn't play a lot of those top 10 lists, honestly.
I think that you're naming them in order right now.
I think
now.
This was, hearing all these games listed, I think this was a good year for gaming.
It was an excellent year.
Much better than last year.
Yeah.
All right.
It was an excellent year. But, okay, so two things really quick. One, there's way less exclusives. Last year was plagued by exclusives. And now you're seeing simultaneous release across all platforms way more than the last 2 years.
True.
So I think those two things led to... It wasn't so much that people were focusing on PC. It's just that everything's all over all at once.
Yeah. Last two I have. This is my runner-up game of the year. And also the best game with time travel and retro graphics.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with Evoland 2. I gushed on it when I reviewed it months ago. But it's still like one of those best games. Like, I want to go back and play it again because it was just so much fun. And I beg you both to play.
I played it for about an hour or two,
and
I thought the puzzles were. I was impressed by the puzzles. It's hard to get puzzles right.
Yeah,
I really like the puzzles in that game.
And then my last one. I also have one best game to involve a car and a ball is Rocket League. But my game of the year, also known as the best game to make you wish for the apocalypse, is Fallout 4. And it's a bit strong surprise for me because I never really got into this Fallout series. I don't really like the apocalypse genre. This first-person shooters aren't always my cup of tea. So there was a lot of reason for me not to really get into this game. And it surpassed. And the hype. I tend to be an anti-hype trainer. It surpassed all those, and still, I put in 50 hours into this game, maybe.
And you're done, right? Like, it's installed, but...
Well, I don't know. You talk up the mod community.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's reasons to go back for the mod community,
there's going to be amazing things, man. There's going to be amazing things.
What I'm hoping is I treat it kind of like you treated Skyrim, where, you know, with something cool comes out in the mod, you go and maybe play again, or you go through it, or do something differently. So I'm hoping that maybe it catches me like that.
And shout out to MXR Review. He does Skyrim Mods Weekly and now Fallout Mods Weekly. Just does a bang-up job. Me, Chad, and my girlfriend watch it.
Yeah, he's funny.
Every time a new episode comes out and just kind of laugh. And at the same time, I need to download that and I need to download that. So just really good if you get into modding.
Cool.
If you want to find out how to mod, you could either watch Gopher's video on... Fallout Nexus, or you can watch my Skyrim video because it's essentially the same thing. Actually, no, Fallout's different, so watch the Gopher video.
Your turn.
Yeah, so...
By the way, are you counting Darkest Dungeon this year? Because we talked about it last year, but it officially released this year.
Hmm.
So I just wanted to make a note.
Well, it was my game of the year.
Oh, okay.
So, way to spoil that.
Spoilers.
Well, you were going to go into discussion.
Yeah.
Just for originality and for the art style. Art style, narration, originality, difficulty, customability, all these things. I don't know so much about an overarching narrative. Bob, you beat the game, technically, in a way. I don't think there was an ending when you beat it, right? It just kind of ended?
I beat most of the bosses, but I don't think I beat all of them.
Did you notice an overarching narrative? Like, I know you're coming back to reclaim your family's...
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. When you beat the bosses, it unlocked parts of a book. So you get more of the story, but it didn't seem to be too much of a beginning and end. But I really don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not for sure on that.
So way to bury the lead there, but he was talking about it already. So My follow-up is probably Witcher 3. Just the amount of content, and none of it seemed to be fluff. They didn't just throw this in there for this or whatever. Pretty much any little thing you walk to is worth walking to if you have the time. I mean, to do that in a game that's big. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I will refer to the Bloody Baron's little side quest as almost like a book that I read. I enjoyed that story and that narrative inside of the grander narrative so much that, like, I'm going to be referring to, like, how to do a side quest. That is my bar. I just really enjoyed that. So for my side ones, best zombie game, Dying Light. So most underrated game was Mad Max. I almost gave that one of my runner-ups. Actually, one of my runner-ups is Rocket League, for sure. I didn't put it down here, but that second-for-second fun, pick up and play. You probably own it by now. I still haven't played the hockey mode.
Simple controls. That's what I like. Too.
I can't wait to play the hockey version, where I guess it's replaced with a puck. It's like a really heavy, and it doesn't go airborne very much.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Bob, have you played it?
No, not yet. I haven't played any of the mutations.
That's not a mutation, actually. Well,
I know a hockey league or a hockey right. mode isn't, but yeah, I haven't played any mutations or either. Hockey.
And then best value is Binding of Isaac Afterbirth. Hundreds of hours later, there it is. Although I might have a replacement now.
So just a little side note for you guys. Life is Strange, your pick, actually sold 707,000 on Steam, which is, I'm surprised, because it was so console-centric that I felt, you know, like most people would have played it on that.
They had a big showing at E3 just for, like, episode 2, you know?
Really?
Like, they had a big thing. So, yeah, they were selling.
Yeah. When I played the last episode, there were a couple of people that were watching me on the Steam, Steam's video thing. You know how it's basically Twitch, but on
Steam.
On Steam. Yeah. I had like anywhere from 4 to 8 people watching me, and they were talking during the whole thing too. And they were just kind of like, they had all beaten the game and they were just watching it as well.
Were you distracted by that?
Not really. One guy was saying like, oh no, you got to do this, no, try that, and then some other guy kind of shut him up and said like, come on dude,
let him do his thing.
But it was kind of cool because they had beaten the game, they just wanted to watch someone else play, kind of re-experience it, and it's a great game just to watch somebody play. It's interesting to see the decisions that they make, because decisions are a huge part of that game, but it's also just fun to see the story play out, because it's very much like a movie or TV show, a real strong narrative.
So I'm going to try this out, but I have to say, from the outside, looking in, it doesn't appeal to me at all. So
yeah, and I can see that. I wasn't interested at all when Chad first brought it up, but even the fact that if you look at like a lot of the Telltale games and games in this style, it looks like just one done in, you know, with teenagers and our world, you know, nothing really special about it, but it was done really well.
Can I say that anything out of Japan pretty much doesn't interest me anymore?
Really?
This wasn't out of Japan, though.
Oh, really?
No, this is from France.
Well, there
you
go.
Isn't this a Ubisoft game?
Mm-hmm.
This is a Ubisoft, whatever their like, side studio or whatever, right? Isn't it?
No, it's from Don't Nod, I think.
Oh, yeah, Don't Nod. Yeah. Gotcha. Just another side note, Darkest Dungeon was number 19 on this year's list. I don't know if that includes, because obviously it was in early access before this year.
Yeah, I wonder how they count those numbers.
But it's listed at 539,000. Mm-hmm. So all of ours made the top 20 on ours. So
So what popped up several times, I mean, yeah, I can't give it to Fallout 4.
Bobby, did you play Fallout 4?
No.
I'm curious. You put Witcher on your list of runners up, but you didn't play Fallout 4.
We've all played The Witcher, right?
Yeah, we all played The Witcher.
See, I don't know. I don't see what everyone else sees in The Witcher, but that might just be me. I mean, it is a very popular game and everyone seems to really like it.
I mean, we could go for Rocket League. I would be happy with that.
I think we all agree on Rocket League, and we all agree on Darkest Dungeon. That's been a big favorite. Darkest Dungeon just feels like so long ago that it... Yeah. I don't know.
Like three new dudes now. There's a... I forgot what it was. He was something that I really enjoy, though. He had... I totally forgot what it was.
Well, I'm gonna put in my vote for Rocket League.
Oh, didn't like a werewolf or something like that?
Yeah, werewolf. That's what it was. Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'll be okay with Rocket League. My whole thing with Rocket League is it was really fun when we were all playing together.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of people ask me if I want to play Rocket League. I just haven't had that desire to want to play it again. But then again, as soon as you do,
you're having tons of fun.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
But for some reason, like...
But that goes with all games, man. There's always that little bit of resistance that keeps you away. I don't know what that is. Do you guys feel that, too?
Oh, yeah.
Like Fallout 4 right now. I haven't played it in, like, 3 weeks, 2 weeks. And I know I'm going to fucking have so much fun.
Yeah.
But I just haven't touched it. I've been busy.
Yeah.
I think the simplicity of Rocket League is a dual-edged sword. Whereas on one side, it's so easy to pick up and play, and it's so immediate... And you could be picking up and be having fun in less than a minute. But on the other side, I'm not seeing the complexity that allows it to sustain. And I think it's all going to be expected and no.
So we're going to whittle it down between Darkest Dungeon and Rocket League?
I'm going to vote Rocket League given the choice of those two. I love Darkest Dungeon, but I feel like we've been talking about it for
obviously, a year and a half. I give it to Darkest Dungeon, so I have to vote Darkest Dungeon. So, Bob, you're the deal breaker here. Unless you have a third option that you want to strongly vote for.
No, between Darkest Dungeon and Rocket League, they're both very good games.
You sure there's not a third that you want to really bring up?
We can't
maybe sway one of us. That could happen.
We could just give it to them both. Can we?
I already said that I vote for Rocket League. I think what they did with Rocket League was a little more innovative than Darkest Dungeon. I mean, Darkest Dungeon is great for a lot of reasons, but it is a roguelike. And Rocket League, I don't know, it was just something so new and fresh.
Yeah, they took it to a different direction, though. Darkest Dungeon, the way it's like turn-based, with the light mechanic where it gets darker and darker, and also with the panic mechanic, like some all those stuff to me feel like new and fresh.
Yeah,
and
as far as innovative, I would say Darkest Dungeon takes that. But yeah, okay, so Rocket League, I'm okay with that. This is tough, right?
Yeah, they're both really good.
Should we give it to both?
What do you think?
We could do whatever we want. We're adults.
We are adults. Last time I checked,
we don't have to ask upstairs.
Yeah, we got nobody to report to. What do you think?
Fuck the boss.
What do you think, Bobby?
I think we should pick one, and we should give one the runner-up.
Okay.
We had a runner-up last year, too. I said he was
the tiebreaker. He picked it, so there we go. But you're the one who picked Rocket League.
But now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of want to pick Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, so go ahead. Now's the time.
But I thought we included Darkest Dungeon in last year's as like last year's runner-up, didn't we?
No.
It was in Alpha or Beta.
Yeah.
Then I changed my mind. I want to vote Darkest Dungeon.
Woo! Okay. Darkest Dungeon.
Darkest Dungeon with Rocket League as runner-up.
It's 1A to 1B.
How great is this? Both our games are both our top games are $20. Like anybody that hears
probably
this,
cheaper during the winter.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Darkest Dungeon is like $9.99
right now. So anybody that hasn't played either one of these, fucking go get it.
Yeah.
So if you haven't played either one of these, first I'm going to slap you in the face, then I'm going to tell you to download them, and then play them and enjoy them. Have fun.
Yeah.
And, sure. But if you're playing by yourself, Darkest Dungeon's the way to go between the two.
Yeah.
If you're playing by yourself. Yep. If you're playing with two or more, obviously Rocket League is the way to go.
Local co-op, definitely Rocket League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. By the way, guys, we haven't had listener questions in like weeks. So if you got any kind of questions, want to know anything about us, won't generally guarantee an answer, but maybe I'll make something up.
Yeah. I thought we'd have more arguing about this.
Well, it took some deliberation.
Yeah.
I'm stoked that Darkest Dungeon got it. I thought it was the dark horse. No pun intended.
Well, Fallout 4 is...
Ooh, that's the name of the podcast, Darkest Horse. it might bury the lead, but...
Okay. You love that. Is that the term of the week for you?
What?
Bury the lead?
Yeah. Because
that's now twice you've used it.
Well, it's applicable in both.
Well, On a side note.
Yes, you've said side note like seven times already.
But I always say on a side note. Oh. Like, that's just a standard.
Just the last 2 weeks.
DL gaming trope at this point. All right, what else are we going to talk about?
Well, let's talk about what we've been playing this week. I've had some time off of work. Never feels like time off of work because I just end up doing a whole bunch of other stuff. But
that's on you, though, Bobby.
I know. But, you know, what are you going to do? I have been playing a lot of games, though, as much as I can, which is why my hand hurts very much right now.
Is it like tendonitis?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have carpal tunnel like before I'm 40.
Because carpal is wrist, usually.
Yeah, that's wrist.
No, are you taking fish oil?
No, but I should take fish oil. I used to.
Yeah.
But this actually started probably about a year ago. And I think it's because I increased the sensitivity on my mouse and I tried to get used to it. So I've had to be way more precise. I've since then reduced it. So hopefully that'll help. But yeah, I'm constantly like trying to stretch out my hand now.
Old man gamey.
Yep. Getting old, folks.
But it's your thumb, though. That's what I find odd.
It's the palm. It's right on the right side of the palm.
How about you just switch right now to regular mouse usage?
I don't know what you consider regular mouse.
Well, you do the claw. You hold your mouse like this,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, see, I don't know if that's going to help, though, because it's the way that I grip the mouse. With
the rest of the world rests their palm on their mouse.
And oh, he doesn't do that way?
No, he holds it like this, like
well,
a spider.
Not like that, but like...
So your palm doesn't at any point touch the mouse mat?
No, it does. You see, whatever I'm doing, it's obviously working because...
Because you're... Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm holding it wrong. My hand will last 400 years, but I'll suck all 400 years of that.
I just need to start playing more controller games or something, which I have been doing.
Yeah, but you hate the controller.
Yeah, I do, but it does work better with some games. One of those games being Final Fantasy VI. Thank you, Chad, by the way, for that.
Segway!
Final Fantasy VI, I talked about it a few weeks ago. I had my eye on that. Basically, Final Fantasy III from the Super Nintendo. A lot of people were really upset when they saw this was coming to Steam because it was an iOS port. They didn't like the graphics. They didn't like the text. They didn't like the menus. I don't think it's that bad, but you know, that's always my stance.
Is there a Steam... workshop here? Because I read something today about a modders working on this. Like, they're going to fix the graphics.
Is this the one that I kicked to? I forget.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But there might be. They might be doing it. You know, I played this on an emulator before, and honestly, the Steam version, it looks better to me. It looks better on a higher resolution. Even on the SNES version, when I ran it on an emulator, I used a filter, so it looked a little bit better. But it only goes up to, I think, 1360 by 768 or some weird resolution like that. They have changed the game, though. They've actually made changes to the game. They've changed the way, not just graphically, they've changed the way the progress bars look. They've changed, they've modernized it. They've made it easier. For instance, at any time you can press X and it tells you what you need to do. Huh. Which is a little weird. And it gives you a waypoint on the map so you can tell exactly where you need to go. Now, when I replayed this maybe a year or two ago on an emulator, I never noticed, probably because I was younger and RPGs weren't as fast as they are now.
You were younger a year ago?
No, when I played it when I was a kid. Yeah. It seemed way more linear than I remember. Like, it was just so obvious, like, go here, buy this, do that. And when I was young, playing this game in the 90s, I was just like, this game.
That it's so grand, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but, you know, then again, what games were big back on a Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
And also, you know, being young, I think, kind of skewed that view as well. But I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. A few things that they've added that I really like are the bestiary. So it lists all the stuff that you run into. It's got like kind of an almanac thing.
All the 18 versions of slime.
Yeah, like gotcha. all that crap. So they've kind of added, you know, everything you see in a modern game.
Bob, you're gonna love if you like this game. I don't know how much of it is nostalgia, but you're gonna love 7, man. 7's
that's what everybody says, and I've only played like 20 minutes of 7. I don't know. One of these days, I will sit down and play it. But I think a lot of it is
well, you gotta wait for the remake, dude.
Yeah, they're
doing a shot for shot remake.
Yeah.
So last week, if you're a Final Fantasy fan, like these guys were, you were talking about 7, right?
Or which one did you play? I've never seen 7. I've never played 7. And I said.
You played 6.
Which was 3 back in the day, right?
Yeah.
So yes.
These doofuses were saying this. They're like, no, it has Mogs in it, those little white things. And it has an airship. And they're like, yeah. And they're going back and forth. And they're like, And it has like one other thing. And I kept saying it's in every Final Fantasy. Like that's what makes Final. Oh, a guy named Sid is in every Final Fantasy. So I asked them afterwards if they had ever played it. It's the only one they've ever each played. So they thought that that was original to that game. But I don't know if it started in one. I think it started around 3, 4, 5, 6. Like you're going
to
see.
Well, 1 and 2 never came to the States, right? 1 and 2 were Japan only.
I think they were on the Nintendo. But yeah, maybe there were only Japanese versions of it.
I think they were on like this, like the they were later released, but I think originally they never came.
Yeah, so anyway, you're going to see those in all. I don't know. I can only talk up until 7. I haven't played it, but I can guarantee from 3 to 7 is all the same shit. Hmm. I'm sure it's going to keep going. Actually, I did play 10.
Did we talk Chrono Cross last week? Chrono Trigger?
Chrono Trigger. That you were going to play it on.
Okay, so I got a little side story. See, not side note, side story. So Emilio had said that it was now made for the Android. So I went to the Android site and it got like a 3. Like people were saying this is stupid. Like there's this problem, this problem, and this problem.
There were technical issues, not
technical
the game
issues. Itself, yeah. I'm like, man, do I want to spend $5 on a game that? It doesn't seem like they put in work on.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I'll just get an emulator on my computer and give it a try and see what it's like. So I'm doing the simulation stuff, which no, I'm not condoning sidestepping any laws or anything to get free games or anything. So I don't want to lay that out. Or maybe I should tell the story that a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
So anyways, so I'm working on the simulation stuff. And as I'm looking, it's like, hey, you could also download this on iOS. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. So maybe
Android, you mean?
Yeah, Android. Sorry. So I go to the store. The NES Super Nintendo emulator is on the store on Google.
Wow, how much?
For free? Wow. It's a free emulator. So mm-hmm. I download the emulator, get the thing. In about 2 minutes, I'm playing
the real.
It has all the features on it. You can save it anywhere. The controls are nice and tight. So I was playing a little Chrono Trigger this morning or this week on my phone. I've been busy, so I haven't gotten too far into it. But yeah, I didn't know how quick and easy that was.
Yeah,
and I'm sure
I mentioned that last week. SNES 9X was the one that I used.
Yeah. I'm sure every listener is saying, Chad, you're an idiot right now, but I didn't know. So now I do. Not that I probably will doubt.
There's a pack of Sega Genesis games on Steam that you can buy. I think there's 3 of them, and it's basically just an emulator that they packaged.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, you start it up, and it's just like it literally is an emulator. I mean, you buy it, but it's funny how some of these games come to Steam, and they're like an iOS version, or they're some sort of reworked version. And then this one, for some reason, the Sega Genesis one is just straight up emulation.
Huh.
I prefer them to optimize it, but if it's not going to pay for the time you put in, then I can see that. Like Impossible Creatures, they definitely put some time into that. Yeah. I'm glad they did.
I played Oceanhorn, which was was originally a mobile game that they brought to Steam, and I thought they did a really good job bringing it to Steam. So there is mm-hmm. some that they can do.
It's kind of weird playing Final Fantasy VI and also playing The Witcher at the same time, because I'm playing like an RPG from 1994. You know, probably the most popular RPG from 1994, and then the most popular RPG from 2015. And just to see the differences, it's weird. Like, no side quests in Final Fantasy VI. I mean, there are things that you can do other than the main quest line, but it's not like an objective. Like, you need to go do this, and, you know, you'll earn this much XP or anything.
I'm kind of curious. What do you think the first game with side quests are? Because, like, that's a staple now.
Yeah.
If you're playing an RPG, you got 8,000 side quests, and you can maybe do the main quest.
It probably came from something that wasn't an RPG, like an action platformer where you could do extra to get another power up or something like that.
Yeah.
Like Castlevania. There's so many items in Castlevania, right?
Yeah.
I've been using the software with The Witcher, though. I saw somebody had it on their account, and I was like, oh,
cheater.
That looks interesting. And it's called VoiceBot, and it's voice-activated commands. And what's really cool about this, the way it works is you say something into your mic and it will do a macro or do whatever you programmed it to do. But the really nice thing that I didn't realize is there's already profiles for all the popular games out there.
Oh, nice.
So I just loaded up a Witcher 3 profile and it's like, okay, just say inventory and it'll bring up your inventory. Say map, it'll bring up the map.
So, awesome. I think I should get
that is
this.
Awesome.
But yeah. I should just program
Dota 2 fucking.
No. It'll messenger. Be just drink like a health potion, but only when I swear. So I'll be like, son of a bitch! And then it'll just drink a health potion.
Yeah.
It would works, work out perfectly.
It works well, but it has trouble recognizing certain words. I've noticed it really has trouble with bestiary.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. So it's not quite as good as recognizing certain things like that. But this would be great for StarCraft. I gotta figure out how to do macros on that, because apparently that's the way to play that game.
Yeah,
so VoiceBot. It's on sale right now for like $225 or something. Mm. Definitely recommend it.
So I played some Heroes of the Storm with these guys.
By the way, on VoiceBot, can you do it for other applications, or is it games only?
Oh, you can do it for applications, yeah.
So you can basically set it up on a word processor and then just talk into it if you want?
Yeah, you can automate anything.
So I played some Heroes of the Storm with these guys. I'm sticking with one character just so I can learn everything.
You're decent, too.
Bob is amazing. Not only is he playing well on his character, but he's telling us what we should be doing. And Chad's asking him what every ability he should choose down his talent tree. And Bob's trying to answer every question.
It's crucial. It's important.
Meanwhile, he's dead half the game. So
hey, really, I was doing well. Tell him I was doing
well. No, you guys are doing pretty good, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
I'm playing probably the easiest character in the game. But these guys like it for a reason, you know? It's really, really good.
No, by the way, you need to switch to Lili. Because she's a healer. Only one of her abilities is a targeted ability.
Yeah.
The other three abilities, you just push the button and it does it.
That's the panda bear?
That's the girl panda bear, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I just wanted to mention that. And Bob, what do you got to say about ranked?
I've been playing almost exclusively ranked games in Heroes of the Storm. And I've been putting this off for a while because, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, it's really easy to play you play your 20 placement games in ranked and then maybe a few on top of that. And there's a period of time where you will get 300 points for a win and you'll only lose 80 or 90 for a loss. So you have this small window of time where you can really get ahead and get a good placement. And a lot of people will do that and then sit on whatever rank they land on, something really low.
Now, that's a really good way of doing it, because what ends up happening with even good players is you get stuck with shitty players, right? So that's probably...
Well, the way the matchmaking... No, that's just the way that they
maybe
do it.
Because
I've never heard of another game doing that. If your ranking is based off of this like bonus period, and it makes sense if you go... Right?
I don't know.
Biggest problem with ranking systems is that you're constantly matched up with four idiots. Well, I mean, this is what everybody says, right?
Well, you're matched up with people that are the same rank as you. So it's supposed to be equal.
But you just started. So the downside is, see, if you're still losing these games, even though you had the bonus.
I don't know.
So there must be a reason they do this, right? This brief period where you can really get ahead. What is the reason for this?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking it's for players that are better than the other players off the bat to get away from the players that...
Yeah, but you do 20 placement games. Right. So you play 20 games, and then based on those 20 games, they put you in a rank. And then after that, they still give you a bonus for several games. I don't know how many games, but they still give you a bonus. Like, after 20 placement games...
There must be
games,
a reason for it. It's Blizzard. I'm saying that.
Well, they're redoing it anyway. They're going to reset ranks.
Anyway,
but the more you play, the more accurate your rank becomes. So I've been playing nothing but ranked mode, and I am like stuck 4, 5. Sometimes I go to 6, but I seem to be stuck right around 5. That seems to be where I belong.
Five
apparently,
what? Rank
rank
five.
Five, yeah.
Okay,
and each rank represents 2% of the player base. So
high is up or low is up?
One would be top 2%.
Okay.
Yeah, lower the better. And there's such a difference in rank one, though. I mean, there's rank one that are... That's why they can start doing grandmasters like they do in StarCraft, or what do they call them in League? Champions? Challengers?
In Heroes of the Storm, after you get above rank one, they just go to actual numbers on where you are.
Oh, well, the leaderboard.
Yeah.
But yeah, the top 200, they're going to do grandmasters for that. But yeah, playing ranked games are just such a different experience, though. The games have been so much better. I mean, obviously, you're picking your team instead of just getting thrown together.
How does it choose who's picking?
I don't know how it chooses, but you just get a list of people, and it's not like Smite where you can change characters afterwards, so that kind of sucks.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. And are there banning phases?
No. No banning phases. They are going to be bringing that to the game soon. But okay. It's been good. I've been getting a lot better. If I continue to do this, I'm sure I'll get better. But it is ranked games. I mean, you guys played ranked Smite games. You know how those go.
Have you any inkling on getting four other good guys together and trying to make a five-man and trying to do some like open tournaments or anything like that?
No, not really.
Because I really think if I was halfway decent, I would want to do that because I've always been a team sport guy. I don't play tennis. I play golf, but I don't play a lot of these individual sports. I always grew up playing team sports, and I thought the...
Well, you got to get carried somehow.
Yeah, exactly, in real life and in video games. But I always thought the most fun was when a group of guys work together as one unit, and you really see like that change of dynamic. And so I've really been missing that in video games, and you can't really get that unless you get a team together.
Yeah. Well, I think that's how people really succeed in this. If you get five people together, then you're automatically put in team league, and that's a whole other ranking system.
Oh, really?
If you group up two or three, then I think you still go into the normal ranked games, but they group you up versus other people who group two or three. But I've been keeping my eye out for people who have done well in matches and like friending them and trying to play more games with them, because that's really how you get ahead. I mean, everybody that gets a low rank this game, they almost always team up with people who are kind of at the same skill level as well.
Yeah. Game-recognized game.
Yep.
All right, what else?
So I've been playing Flame Break. It's my new replacement for Binding of Isaac for now. It's a mix between FTL and Binding of Isaac. It's improved both games.
Flamebreak, this is called, right?
Yeah. It's improved both games in certain ways, but also it has, you know, in doing so, it's also lost some of the fun parts of other games. So the things that I like over Binding of Isaac is that the unlocks are... You're going to get the unlocks no matter what, because you're filling up an XP bar every time you kill a boss, and that's how you get your unlocks. And Binding of Isaac, there's no guarantee you're ever going to unlock anything. It's all... Everything's RNG. So this, at least you know you're going to be getting new shit. And it's not upgrades. You just, so the way the game works, and this is how it's a little more FTL, you get... At the very beginning of the game, you get your choice of three random characters, and their race and their weapon are randomized. And each race has a special ability, each weapon has a special ability, and then you just randomly get a special ability. So you look around and you get, you know, you pick one of the three, which one you ever think is going to be the best, and then you play with that. And then after that, it's randomly generated, and then the levels are randomly generated, and the actual map, like FTL, you're kind of progressing through a map as well, and that's all random as well. I love randomness. So I'm really digging this right now. The other thing that comes up is you kind of want to explore, but at the same time, you'll be punished if you stick around the map too long, because it's just like FTL. The fleet is behind you, and this one, it's the shadow people or whatever they're called. But you want to explore because there's like four different kinds of shops, maybe five. And in those shops, there's weapon sets. And each kind of shop sells a different kind of weapon. Like one might have armor, the other one has rings, the other one has blah, blah, blah. And you can get weapon sets. And if you make a set, it's really, really strong. Like I had a 30% chance to stun with a automatic shotgun. So it was so strong. And that's the farthest I got in the game. So it's just enough randomness with, regardless of how well you do, there's reward for just playing. And just playing is fucking super fun. So, Bob, you only played it for a second. What did you think?
I liked it. It was a lot of fun. Cool. It reminded me of, what's that game? Hero something. I don't know. Kind of the same game. It's a twin stick shooter, basically, but you have abilities that you use. Now, are you playing this
top
with...
Top down.
Yeah, top down. Are you playing this with a controller or a keyboard and mouse?
I've been on the controller. They both have their benefits, though, for sure. Chad, you might like this, where it's mouse aim, like Binding of Isaac, like you
like
it.
That's how I like it.
But I really don't like it. So it didn't work for me. So I've been but the counterstroke to that is it's kind of hard to aim at the guy you want to when you're on controller. So it has a lock-on ability, but it doesn't quite work the way I would want it to. So there's a lot of strategy and a lot of luck, which is, I think, the essential roguelike, right?
Yeah.
Something that combines strategy and luck. What can you do with what's been given to you?
It'd be cool if it was more loot pinata, though. It sounds like there's no loot pinata aspect of it.
Well, you really have to manage your gold, and then you go into the shops. The shops is the randomness and the loot pinata. But if you spent too much money on the last shop, you know, it's, so there's all that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm going to be playing this a lot. You know,
this is your new binding.
Yeah, I'm not over binding, but I see no reason to play binding while I still love
you're going to play when your girl's here, you're going to play binding, and when you're by yourself.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's only $4.99 on sale right now. $9.99 typically. That's pretty good.
And clearly I can see what I need to do. Oh, I need to be this bot. I need to keep beating bosses, and I can see my progress bar. Binding of Isaac gives you nothing like that. You know, it's all very obscure.
So there is an ending, though, right? You eventually.
I would imagine, yeah. Oh, and the narration and the hand-drawn art for all the story elements were really well done. Like I said, I'm a sucker for production value, and for a little indie game, I was really impressed.
Nice. Yeah.
Now, speaking of FTL, they say in the
great
description,
game, by the way.
Yeah,
it says that game is Flame Break. It says Flame Break is a roguelike action RPG that blends elements of FTL, Isaac, and Dota.
Well, the itemization and the gold, I would guess.
But another game that I played this week that is very similar to FTL was Convoy. Thank you, Emilio, for that one.
I can't wait to play this game. I bought this. Oh, I told him I bought Chad or Bobby Convoy and something else. But I put in the, you know, it makes you write a note for no reason.
It forces you to.
Yeah, and I just told Bobby.
It should go to
I'm only buying this so I can play it myself.
It should go to the 2015 and let you put a dick pic when you send a game.
Yeah, sure.
Right? I would do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't let you send that many megabytes. Hey-o, that's a big dick joke, everybody.
Yeah. Big dick. All right, let's talk Convoy.
So, Convoy is a game, and apparently a movie from 1978, too.
Yep.
Let me see if I can Google this better. Convoy yep. Steam.
Convoy, this is what Skyshine's Bedlam should have been. It's the same thing. I was talking about Skyshine's Bedlam. I talked about, this is going to be good. I saw it at E3, but it came out to, like, shitty reviews.
Why do I not remember that game at all?
Yeah, well, it's pretty, this is the better version.
So I can immediately forget
Skyshine's Bedlam. Yeah.
Okay.
So this game is very similar to Faster Than Light, FTL, both graphically and in gameplay. It's just, instead of FTL being in space, this game is on ground, and it's more like Mad Max post-apocalyptic. You're leading a convoy, which is a large truck that's accompanied by several other vehicles that you need to traverse this desert and complete missions, gather parts for a spaceship. That's your mission. So two parts of the game. You're going around this top-down view, looking at a map, moving your convoy to quest markers. Occasionally, you run into different factions that you then have to fight. You can also go to beacons. And just like an FTL, where it's like, do you want to investigate this or no? It's a gamble. You know, something good can happen, something bad can happen. Got to manage resources like fuel and all that. The fun part about this game is the actual battle sequences. Much like in FTL, you know, you have those ship battles. In this, though, you have several vehicles that you have to maneuver around. You're driving left to right, so are the other vehicles. You have to shoot them, but also move your vehicles out of the way of obstacles. And you can lose a whole vehicle if you crash into a wall. Like, the whole thing's just gone.
Can you reduce your speed?
There are stats on the vehicles, one of them being maneuverability, and that helps you get around faster. You can back up and, yeah, reduce your speed.
Sounds
hectic.
Around. A lot of shit going
it
on.
It is. And, so, you know, just like FTL, you can hit space and then give some commands and let them play out and then hit space again to pause it and then make those make more maneuvers.
So FTL, though, kind of was like turn, not turn-based, but it was automated in the fact that, you know, you set your weapon to fire, and then it had, like, a two-second cooldown, and then it would shoot. And then a two-second cooldown, it would shoot, right?
Yeah, you can put one laser on one part of their
ship,
it would just keep
going. Is it similar to this, or are you actually controlling... Are you pushing WSD or some other controls to actually control your guy?
It's just like FTL. The combat is just like FTL.
Okay.
You are clicking where you want your vehicles to go. They move there. You're telling them where you want to fire. There are some vehicles like bosses that you can target different parts, and they have different different vehicles have different guns or items on them. So, you know, right away you want to recognize what's the biggest threat. And, okay, I'm going to stun that one, and then I'm going to shoot one. So there's many different tactics that you can do with this. It is, I will say this, though, it is easier than FTL. I beat the game on easy mode, and just like in FTL, it unlocks, like, more vehicles. And you can use that to then play on harder difficulties and unlock different vehicles by doing specific quests or beating it on harder difficulties. But you can grind. Yeah, you can just grind resources on this. You can go to camps, repair your vehicles, upgrade your vehicles. I really like that part, but it's pretty easy just to go to a camp, upgrade and repair, then go out, maybe do a beacon, or just wait till you get into a fight and get some more resources, get into another fight, get a little bit more resources, and then go back to base, upgrade, repair, and then do that over and over, much like Darkest Dungeon, where you can just run it on easy mode. Darkest Dungeon kind of forces you a little bit at a certain point. If your character's level, what, three or four,
you can't do the easy mode.
He says you can't do it.
Yeah, but on this one, you can just do easy things like that. It'll take some time. You know, it's a grind, but you can play it safe and do that because...
There's no enemy behind you that pushing you forward.
No, it's a big wide open map. You go left, right, north, south.
Sounds like that's what they need.
Yeah.
But I haven't tried it on the harder difficulties. I did unlock like three new sets of vehicles. You always start off with your main convoy and two vehicles, and I unlocked three new kits that give me two new vehicles each.
Did you just say it was too easy on easy?
Well, the only difference on starting on hard mode is you start out with less resources. I don't know if the people that you fight actually do more damage. I don't know.
I'm a little surprised. I mean, Bobby did easy. Like, I see him as a gamer that goes in and picks the hardest.
I made that mistake.
FTL.
Yeah, I made that mistake on FTL. I played that game forever on normal mode and never beat it. Then I was like, oh, I got to play easy mode, unlock some other ships, and then...
That's the fun, though, in FTL is it's... brutally hard,
but I can't say that the newer ships in FTL are
they're just
that
different.
Much better than
but you get ship. Better playing you it's a trial and error where you kind of see this is gonna fail 90% of the time. Let's not do that.
It's so awesome because you're learning. That game is so good. Did you guys ever get the crystalline ship on that one?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
There was one ship where you had to do a bunch of different steps to get that.
All of them are like that. But some of the steps are way easier.
Oh, okay.
Like you only have to do this one thing and choose this one thing.
Yeah.
Like the rock people, they were really good.
Yeah.
Their ship, I really enjoyed their ship.
That makes me want to play it. When are they doing FTL 2?
Well, this game feels like FTL 2, honestly.
They had
I want FTL just bigger, badder.
They had their enhanced edition. I'm just upset. Again, I'm upset why... I'm a fucking crazy... My entire...
Yeah, let's just stop right there. You're just crazy.
My entire thing of, like, that Steam tries to sell me is roguelike after roguelike after roguelike, because it's all I buy. Meanwhile, we can't get a roguelike with fucking AAA graphics? Come on. Like, one game, please, at some point? Obviously, it's something that sells. Fuck.
Yeah. I don't know if roguelike sells on PC, but does it sell on console? Because to get AAA, you got to hit the console market, too. Has it been a seller on console?
No, I don't think so.
Somebody's just going to have to take a flying leap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leap of faith.
Okay, so...
That's what I meant.
I'm going to have to take a flying leap. I'm gonna download Convoy from your friends and family.
Yeah, definitely check it out. I mean, it can't be that big of a game.
So, Bob said he really enjoyed the Bug Butcher, which he got the name wrong three times, and we were looking it up. I tried it out, but I only tried it out in local co-op, and in that mode, you only get panic mode, which means waves of bad guys. So, there's not a whole lot of depth when you play that way, But me and my girlfriend were, her especially, she didn't want to stop playing. I was like, okay, well, we can play some of that. She's like, no, let's keep playing. So she really enjoyed it. For me, it was a little repetitive. Although I kind of liked, because you have to go through the tutorial in order to play anything. So when I went through the tutorial, I kind of liked the voice acting, if you want to call it that. It's that whole weird words when they talk to but it's really cute.
The Charlie Brown effect?
Yeah. So I thought they did good there.
But what kind of game is it, though?
It's basically Asteroids.
Yeah, it's... There's okay. another game that they copied. Maybe, Chad, you know, it was at the arcade, right? It was kind of with that bubble game. You know, the bubble game where you match the bubbles?
Bubble Bobble?
Yeah, whatever it's called. There's another one matched in that same cabinet where you shot these ribbons up and they attached to the roof. And little bubbles were bouncing on the ground, and you popped them with these ribbons that you were shooting.
I had never played that game and know nothing about that.
Oh, that's what it pretty much is. Okay. Anyway, I didn't want to talk about it.
Oh, it's still early
much.
Access.
Yeah, hopefully they'll put some more into it. But the art style is cool.
The name is terrible.
It's a French game, so I think it probably means something more in French.
Yeah. Okay.
But
Les Incompetents.
Did you like the single player?
The single player is all right. They try to work in a little bit of a story, but really there's not too much there. When I bought this game, I had assumed that it was a side-scroller. So I was a little surprised when it was just basically an advanced version of Asteroids, I guess is the best way to put it. And you go from room to room, and you just have to shoot these bugs. You can only shoot upwards, and there's different kinds of bugs that you take out. You can get different kinds of weapons to kill them with. I mean, it is a fun game. I did like it.
Wait. Asteroids is what you guys are calling this?
He means Space Invaders.
Oh, Space Invaders. Okay, because I was saying Asteroids.
Yeah, you guys are confusing the hell out of me with the Asteroids talk.
Space Invaders.
Okay, Galaga is also.
Galaga. Okay, yeah, more like Galaga. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun game. I think I bought this for $1.50. So, I mean, I'm happy with it. I bought this because I was stuck at work waiting for something that I had to do later in the evening, and I just had some time to kill, and I'm like, oh, this is Mac compatible. It's $1.50.
All
right.
Yeah, it's hectic. It's like that, you know, all this shit going on at once, and you have to, like, move around. When you're playing in co-op, you have to kind of pick each other up, but every time you pick somebody up, they lose one of their health containers.
Yeah. So I didn't even realize there was a co-op mode.
It might be new because they're still in single player. So,
early access.
Early access. Thank you. Shit, I'm drunk with fucking the flu.
Awesome.
So I also played Infested Planet. This is like playing StarCraft single player. That's pretty much how it goes.
It's a single player RTS then?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. You're controlling like 5 Space Marines. And as you take down all these tons and tons of fucking aliens, you get resources, and the way you spend those resources. So it's resource management. Yeah, it's pretty much a single player RTS where you're going against.
But you never build the base. You're always these 5 guys.
I think you might get to that point. You build turrets and stuff like that. But yeah, it's all about this squad, and it's interesting because eventually. Individual characters in your squad are important. Like this guy has to watch this region, and you spread yourself too thin, or you have too much in one area, and there's hotkeys. So what I liked about it is I've always wanted to be good at RTS. I've always liked RTS, but I've never been good at it. This you can take at your own pace and not feel the pressure of they're building up. It's more like they're built. And it's up to me to tear them down, as opposed to the longer I take, the stronger they get. That doesn't happen in this game.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. The worst part about it is the sound. It's the same 8 sounds at the same fucking for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, the graphics aren't really thrilling me either. But
yeah, pixelated top down shooters this week.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is like super cartoony graphics. They suck, really, honestly. But it's like a serious game. It's not like, oh, go kill these whatever the fucks. It's like a real military. The way they talk to you and the way the missions are laid out and the audio, it's all like real.
So it's not like Helldivers where there's no campy aspect to it.
Yeah, none at all.
Gotcha.
Even though the graphics represent, like, if they should flip flop, actually. Yeah.
Helldivers is real nice graphics, but it's kind of campy. This is kind of campy graphics, but real.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, gotcha.
And, you know, they got the game done. It's overwhelmingly positive with, I think, 1,000 reviews or something like that.
Yeah. It's also on sale on Steam for, on the Steam sale.
Yeah, it was $5, so I bought it.
70% off.
It's really the sound that killed me on this one. Because the game is kind of repetitive, but it's fun. But the sound being so repetitive, just those 5 assault rifles going off over and over and
so
over.
So mute it, put on a little Spotify.
Yeah.
And have fun.
You know what's really strange? Now that you mentioned sound effects, it reminded me of Convoy. When you click on a vehicle and then order them to attack another vehicle or perhaps move somewhere else during these battles, it sounds, I swear, they used the exact same sound effects from the original Command and Conquer. Like, no joke. It's like moving out, you know, just like
These guys do the same thing.
Never forget that sound. So when I hear it, I'm just like, that's the same sound.
So Bob, I wanted to ask this earlier, but in FTL, you're controlling individual crewmates. In this, it's more like you're controlling only vehicles, not individual people.
Mm-hmm. But then, you're controlling multiple vehicles. So your vehicles are kind of like your crewmates, right?
Yeah.
You're changing the locations and how what they do.
And you got to upgrade. You upgrade each one,
I can't
too.
Wait to play this.
Each vehicle you can upgrade to a certain degree in different areas. You have your health, armor, maneuverability, their resistance to landmines, and some of them are better than others. Some of them are stronger. You can also ram them. Like, I had one vehicle that was just my battering ram, and I equipped him with items that made him take less damage from contact and do more damage. So I would just move him around, and he would – that's a cool thing, too. You know, if there's a car wreck, your car will take damage from hitting that, or a mine. But if there's a wall, that'll straight blow you up. So my battering ram would, like, knock people around and push them into lanes where walls were coming up. Mm. So, yeah, a lot of fun stuff in that one.
Little side note.
Stop.
Yeah. Really. No,
I'm just getting warmed up.
I'm just getting warmed up, yeah. Warcraft 2, they had the best individual unit sound effects when you told them to do stuff, right?
Okay.
Yeah, like the...
A lot of those carried on to the other Warcraft
games. Yeah, exactly. And still into World of Warcraft, you saw those carried
on. Job's done.
Yeah.
At BlizzCon, they had a screenshot during one of their presentations of, like, the characters that they had brainstormed to bring into the game. And most of them we've already seen in the game, but there were a few, and they're real rough 3D models, like not even skin textures. But one of them I knew for sure was the gyrocopter, which they've already brought into Dota 2. But I really hope... Dota 2. Yeah, but that sound effect, that was always my favorite from Warcraft 3. They weren't very good units, but they, when they would die, like, you would build a fleet of them, and then all of them would die, and it would just be, like, the same sound effect played over again, but so many times that they would interrupt each other, so it was like, they came from behind, or something like that, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Just, I remember hearing that over and over again.
When I was playing Heroes of the Storm, the leader of the orcs in War of the Warcraft, what's his name?
Thrall.
How is he in that game? Because you would imagine he's fucking, like, amazing. But how is he in Heroes of the Storm?
I think he is the most underrated hero in there. A lot of people will tell you he's not very good. The stream that I watch a lot, Chew8, he always talks about it, too. He thinks he's underrated as well. But I think he's great. We saw him a little bit in some competitive play recently. They had the WCA, and a lot of people go on the Lightning build, which is a ranged build on him. But I think he's really good, and I love playing him.
But you mean lore-wise?
No. I meant, like, how is he in the game? Because I have enough to where I can buy a character now.
Oh.
So I was thinking...
So you're wondering what to buy.
It's either between him or Rexxar. But Rexxar, that's just because...
Rexxar is tough.
That's because I love hunters and pets and stuff.
Yeah.
And he has a full-on pet. So...
Bob, you got to control both those independently.
Yeah, I played all of them. See, I go into practice mode before I go in and bitch about losing.
I never lost. We just won again and again.
So if I go onto a capture point, Bob, I count as two people?
Yeah, or you can just move your bear onto the capture point, which is what most people do.
There's a new TF2 mode. You got no new man versus machine stuff came out this week. It's called Tough Edition or something.
We were supposed to have played that man versus machine. All right, I'm down.
Cool.
All right. Last week we played quite a bit of Vagante. Is that the way you pronounce
that's
that?
The way I would say it.
Yeah. Because it sounds like pace picante.
Yeah.
Pick up the pace.
Quite a bit. It was like an hour, I would say, maybe.
An hour for between
us,
three
at least
of us.
An hour.
Yeah. Yeah. So 3 hours played.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's fucking super duper hard.
Yeah. And all the reviews, what the fuck?
All the reviews said that too. This is brutal. This is a really hard game. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I feel like so much of these games, like Convoy, every time I describe something that, I was just like in FTL, you do this. Well, in Vagante, just like in Spelunky, you know, you do a lot of things. This game is basically a Spelunky multiplayer with more RPG elements. So you got shops, upgrades, items that you can get.
It's a Spelunky RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spelunky was multiplayer as well.
What was the game that I played that was like that? That was Spelunky RPG, but it was single player only. Magicite? Was it Magicite?
No, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it, but yes, there is a game like
but
that.
But it was single player only.
Yeah, single player.
Can you guys recommend this?
I do not know. I really want to see what this game is like single player, because it seemed very difficult multiplayer. And like in Spelunky, when you get more players,
it gets worse.
Yeah, it gets more difficult to handle.
Yeah.
In this, basically what would happen is two people would die and one person would become the skeleton minion master. Because when you die, you become a skeleton and you can resurrect. You can do damage and attack, but it's kind of weak. But you can die again. And then as long as the person who's still alive comes near you, you can resurrect for free and then just go attack. So you basically become minions.
Yeah, basically the one guy alive tries to not get in the way while his minions attack things. But then when they die, he's got to get close enough to his minions to resurrect them so they can continue to do damage.
And Bobby, who was playing the tank, was always the last one alive and was getting
loot. Was it because he was playing the tank or because he's generally the best of us playing video games?
Because he was playing the tank.
I don't know, I think you guys are pretty drunk, too. That might have had
a
little sway in it. But I don't know about this game. Like, I don't know if I can recommend this. And the thing that I was a little bothered by was that it didn't seem like we were progressing, you know, and typically in roguelikes, Rogue Legacy, you die, but you get a little gold, and then you spend that on upgrades, so next time you get a little bit better, and you have a little bit more of an
advantage.
Yeah,
we were unlocking stuff.
We unlocked one thing, and it was a new class, which equally sucked, but we died, we spent an hour dying.
Yeah, were we unlocking things that would give us an advantage in our games that came afterwards?
Generally, roguelikes don't work that way. It's just more stuff.
Like in Spelunky, you die and that's it. Clean the slate and you go again.
Yeah.
There's a speed run where somebody beats Spelunky in like 2 minutes and four seconds or something. Check that out. It's fucking worth watching. He loses his shit.
Well, yeah, if you care about Spelunky at all. Yeah. When did Spelunky... Was that last year?
Oh God, that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, before that.
Wow.
Because it was big on the Xbox before.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I can recommend.
No, I can't recommend it.
Not right now.
Well,
how much was it, by the way?
$14.99. I paid a lot for it too, but it was a Steam card that my girlfriend got for me. So I was like, "Oh, I'm rich. I can buy all kinds of shit."
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, I would give it. I would give it right now a $5 price point that I would say would be worth it.
And we can't find it. So Steam's been all fucked up lately.
Oh, are we? Okay. What happened?
Yeah. There it is. Did I spell it wrong, Bob?
No, that's weird. How you spell it, but apparently the search on Steam is not working.
Yeah.
And Steam's... Okay, so it's $13.49 right now on Steam.
Okay, that's probably
Steam.
What I paid.
Yeah, and that's on sale from $14.99. It's getting very positive reviews, only 400 reviews, not a whole lot there. No Metacritic score yet. It's still in early access, so I guess they're still working on it. Yeah, I can't recommend it.
We can check this out in 6 months.
I think maybe... Maybe the difficulty will be normalized. Because if the difficulty is normalized, then we can actually go somewhere and do something and maybe see what the rest of the game's like. Did we even get to the end of a level?
It's just like Spelunky. There's three parts of one level. And when we went into that new world after the three starting area, holy shit, that was way harder.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea that you can upgrade your character. You know, you have talent points and equipment that make you better. But... I don't know. It just seemed way too difficult. Maybe we were missing something.
Yeah, like skill.
Yeah.
I just named the news the naughty news because we have there's a piece about Psychonauts and another one about Awesome Knots. So Psychonauts is now on Fig, which Fig, I brought this up a long time ago, is a crowdsource funding, a crowdfunding site where you get stake in the company or into the project. So you could potentially make your money back then and then some, but this is not the way, this is not putting your money into Apple. This is not a way of making money. It's just a way of giving you a further interest. And also, you know, the more you money you put in, I think you'll have some influence, especially if you have some other people that agree with you. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I don't know if Fig is going to work, but I think they created Fig.
Double Fine?
Double Fine. I think they created Fig because probably they weren't happy with paying the fees from,
yeah,
you know,
Kickstarter.
And it's an interesting idea. I mean, if you're going to crowdfund a game or if you're going to Kickstart a game, why not have this other option where you make a little bit of money as well?
Yeah.
The other one was
Psychonauts.
No.
Awesome Nuts.
Awesome Nuts. Oh, and that's, I kind of brushed over it. Psychonauts is an amazing, amazing game.
This is for the next version of it?
Psychonauts 2. Yeah.
It's the really, long-awaited really sequel.
Yeah. It's a great, great game. It still holds up. I would recommend it. You know, it's definitely getting towards the end of, like, oh, I can't play this, but it's such a good game.
I had a lot of difficulty getting Psychonauts to run on my computer. It was the weirdest thing. It ran fine on my MacBook, but I could not get it to run on a Windows PC. And I had the weirdest fix for it. I had to get it to run. I had to change something in the process thread so it would only use one core of my processor.
Yeah.
And it was the strangest thing. I think they've since then fixed that, but the game does have some trouble running on modern machines, but it is such a good game.
Bob, do you think it's just general luck that I never have any of these issues? It seems like you always have issues running games.
I haven't. This is years ago. I haven't had issues recently, and I think that was partially due to the operating system. This is probably back Windows 7 days. So.
Bob, Chad, did you play it?
Awesome Nuts. I played probably...
No. Psychonauts.
I'm sorry. Psychonauts. I played probably 3 hours of it or so. Yeah. I have it on my Steam list.
You're close to beating it, then, I would say. But if you weren't compelled to beat it, then...
Well, I see a lot of the things that modern games use from Psychonauts.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when it came out, it was like, boom, wow, look at all this stuff. And then everybody copied it. So... I think players, if players picked it up now, they'd be like, okay, this is a good game. It's right. Got these things in it that everybody uses. No, like, a lot of this stuff was created with Psychonauts, right?
Yeah. So you kind of have to go in with that caveat in mind. But it's still a good game. I think it holds up.
It does. Yeah. The graphics aren't good, but, like, the controls are so tight, which is one of the amazing things about this game was the controls, like, how you utilize it and what you can do that... It feels like a modern game when you play the game. The graphics, though, are just not modern graphics, but the controls are definitely there.
And Awesome Nuts, Bob, they had a big thing happen. Overdrive, it's called. What is it?
You know, I don't know. I know the last time I played Awesome Nuts was a little less than a week ago, and they said, tomorrow we're making a big announcement, and, you know, tune in for that. And I did not, but... I think they were just doing kind of an overhaul on the game. This game has been around forever, and I've been playing it for a while, too, off and on. But they don't, like other MOBAs, they don't add characters every 3 weeks. They do add characters, not nearly as often, though.
But their character list is only, like, 20, right? Or something like that?
20, 25. But okay. It's 3v3 as opposed to 5v5, so it's not necessary to have. And you get access to... 90% of the characters. I think there are one or two expansion packs or maybe like three or four characters that you would have to buy.
Gotcha.
But the majority of them are free.
And we're going to play that this week, right?
Yeah, we should definitely play that. It's on sale on Steam right now for $2.50. It is a great game.
Bobby, you and I will carry him, you know. We'll carry him to rank one.
Yeah.
Do you play ranked on this?
I don't know if there's a... Or,
I think it's like the epitome of casual MOBA.
Is it?
It's pretty casual.
Yeah. Okay.
And finally, I mean, we just got to mention it because it was so big, but there's not really much to say. Steam had a big error happen. They call it a cache error. People's information was displayed to other people.
Yeah, people were logging into their accounts, and on their account page, it was showing other people's information and also showing pages in different languages or Steam in different languages.
Yeah.
So, anything bad that they were showing?
Well, last four digits of credit card numbers, email addresses. Yeah, it was a pretty big security breach, and they probably about an hour after this happened, they shut down that section of Steam, and I don't know how long it took for them to get that back up and running, because I tried for hours and hours and hours. I was playing Heroes of the Storm, and then I would check back, and I'm like, oh, Steam's still down. It's been like 6 hours, and then I realized maybe I should just log out of Steam and log back in, and sure enough, I did that, and it worked.
But Steam, as we just saw a second ago, is still sick, like me. Like, I had a hard time. I was looking for roguelikes yesterday, because was the one that I talked about, Flamebreak?
Yeah.
I saw it. I decided to purchase it. Click on my or add into cart. This is last night. Add to cart. Steam crashes.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of the game and fucking had to go through the list trying to find where it was. And I ended up having to find it by. But it was like I could look at the first page, not the second, but the third was okay. And then every other page I could look. It was so hard.
It's been really buggy lately.
And just now, right now, Bobby couldn't look at the game that he
The search engine doesn't seem to be working. I type in the exact title of the game and it doesn't come up. So yeah, Steam's having some issues. And this big problem happened on Christmas Day. I'm like, people have got to be waking up, opening their presents, getting Steam cards. Going on there and then just being like, what the hell? Because you couldn't check out. Once they had this issue, they made it so you basically couldn't log into your account. You could get to your games, your library, but you couldn't make any purchases. So, yeah, that must have been a disaster.
Wow.
And I have to say, for something that is so big like this, to never really have too many problems.
Yeah,
like,
they don't have a maintenance window, right? Steam doesn't have a maintenance window.
I think so. So, they've earned my respect. You can do this a couple of times, and I'm going to be okay with it, because there's going to be hiccups when you're...
Well, I imagine they're getting so much traffic this time of year. As soon as the Steam sale started, like, I couldn't access anything. My inventory wouldn't load. Like, Steam was just locked up. It had to calm down for a few hours before things started working a little bit better.
But in as far as sales are concerned, the summer sale is the one to do, right?
I guess so. I mean, they usually put a lot of effort into their sales, but this one, it seems they were a little bit lax on. I mean, they just basically said, hey, all these games are discounted. We're highlighting a few each day just to show them off, but no flash sales, no daily deals, no heavily discounted for a limited time, nothing. Just like, hey, everything, you know, a bunch of stuff is on sale. Take it or leave it. No little games.
I prefer that way. Bobby doesn't like it.
I don't know. I like it, but I feel like we're not getting very good deals. For instance, there's a few items on my wish list that are not on sale, like, at all. Like, titles that I really think would be. And typically, you see some that are on sale.
It's not up to Steam, though. Steam, that's up to the developers.
Yeah, I suppose so. But at the same time, like, sometimes you would get games that would be discounted, but then later on, they would be heavily discounted.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we're not getting as good of deals this time around.
10,010 games, though, right? Isn't that the number of...
How many is on it?
Yeah. Wow. It's the whatever the binary of 18 is. So you work it out.
Seems kind of low to me.
Can we talk real quick that Bobby's gotten hair all over his face now?
No, that's it's pretty much always been like that.
No,
well, he runs this, but he doesn't run the front.
He's got the
part.
Chops.
Oh, yeah.
But you went full full beard.
Really?
No. Oh, no, I'm going to shave it tomorrow. I'm on vacation. I'm not really putting a whole lot of effort. Yeah,
we're not three semi-bearded fellows at this point.
Everybody's doing the beard now.
It's semi, dude. This is a full manly ass beard.
No,
I shaved it down.
It's like if the hair's not tickling some part of your body, it's not a beard. It's just a 5 o'clock shadow.
Tickling parts of your body.
Yeah. Later.
So let's wrap this bitch up. Next week, I am definitely going to be playing a free to play game called Duelist. It is a combination of XCOM type warfare with a Hearthstone type card game. So as you play cards in the game, you get a physical representation on the chessboard and then play from there. Dude, how awesome
that is. And it's free to play. Why can't I play this too?
You can play it too.
All right, I'm going to play this too then.
I already have it downloaded. Okay. So I'm really excited to check that out. It sounds like I've always wanted I've talked about it for years before I even started playing PC games. If you play a magic card for somewhere, a physical representation to come up of what you just played, it's a dream come true if they pull it off. But I've heard it's good, so can't wait to play it. Also, this year coming up, I'm really going to be pushing the podcast. Our numbers have been going up steadily, but not by leaps or bounds. This year, I want leaps or bounds. So if you have anything that could add to the podcast, definitely a video editor is the number one. We just don't have the time for this. So if somebody wants to try, you know, we can't pay you anything, but it'll get your name out there to hundreds of people.
We have maybe that to even offer. Thousands.
Maybe even thousands. So there, you know, anything you want to contribute, you know, we got a few people doing a few things for us now, but if you want to be part of the group, it's not that hard. You just got to prove you're not a douchebag and send me an email at emilio@dlgaming.net. Remember, our website will have some new support options on it starting this week, hopefully. Some that don't cost you any money. Some for if you just want to hook us up, that'll go right back into games. So thank everybody for listening this year. Every time I see a comment, every time somebody says anything about the podcast, it's all been positive, but I'm sure if something negative came through, I would see if there's any truth in it and try to apply it to the podcast. I appreciate every one of you guys. Thanks for listening.
Wow. Getting a little, make me cry a little bit here.
We, you know, it's just a hobby. But we're serious about this hobby. So if ever it became anything more than that, that would be fantastic. But if it never does, I'm totally happy with where we're at. And thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, appreciate it. Everybody listening.
Cheers.
Yeah.
So
Last of 2015. Yeah. Make it a good one.
I think I'm going to switch my my sign off after this. So this
You're getting harassed by your girlfriend?
No, this might be the last DL Gaming. Happy titties, everyone.